Some of you may recall that some time ago, I think it was episode 7, I titled it, In Hindsight, I Was Sick When I Made This. And there is no hindsight this week. I'm definitely sick. But, you know, show must go on. Play that theme tune. This is episode 19 of That's a Freebie, titled No Hindsight This Time, I'm Sick. On this week's show, I'll give you an update on my health, tell you about the time I threw an iPhone down the stairs, but did it survive? I'll also set myself a couple of challenges, and of course, I'll be answering the AI question of the week. Thought I'd start this week with a health update. The reason being is I have not been particularly well this week. I was going to do a health update this week anyway, as I promised last week. So I thought, why not start with that? I am probably going to be coughing a lot more this episode because my cough does seem to have gotten worse over the last few days. I think that is just a side effect of everything else that's happening, basically. Let's start with... where do we start with health? Do I go with a regular health update or do I start with what's happened this week? Let's start with what happened this week. So, remember, and again, a few episodes back, there was an episode where I was talking about how there was a medical emergency on the tram and an ambulance had to be called and it caused delays and all that kind of stuff. Well, this week I got to be the medical emergency. Yay! It wasn't that exciting, but an ambulance was called. It wasn't really necessary, I don't think. I think that was a bit of a overreaction, but at the same time, better safe than sorry, I suppose. Yeah, so it started off with me waking up on Thursday last week, I think it was. Yeah, Thursday morning. I felt fine. Didn't feel ill in any way, shape or form. I went to work as usual. Shortly after getting to work, I was sick. Oh yeah, content warning if any of you feel like grossed out by descriptions of someone being sick. Too late, I've already said it. Yeah, I was sick. I was then sick a couple more times, so I got to the point then where I was like, you know what, I probably shouldn't stay at work at this point. It's affecting my ability to do anything because I had to keep running off to be sick. Pretty sure I did. A horrible sicky burp in somebody's face as well, which that person happens to be listening. Sorry, didn't mean to. So I decided best thing to do is go home. That's where the fun started. So as you know, I need to get on a tram to get home. So I get on the tram and I'd started feeling a lot worse by that point. You know, where you just start getting feverish and you're just not there. You know, you're walking around like a zombie with your gob open going, ugh. I was like two steps away from going brains. So I'm sat there on the tram, makes a couple of stops and I'd started to feel a little bit warm and I could tell I was going to be sick. So I always carry a carrier bag around in my main bag, just in case we go shopping and we need a carrier bag. So I pulls out my carrier bag. I could see everyone looking at me thinking, what's he doing? Because I basically pulled out the carrier bag and just held it open in front of me. So everyone was probably already thinking, oh no, he's got a barf. Anyway, over time, the carry bag slowly got lower and lower because I wasn't barfing. I was trying my hardest to hold it all back because obviously no one wants to barf on the public transport, do they? So I'm plodding along and I started getting really warm, like so warm. I could feel myself sweating and I knew I was dripping with sweat. I could feel I was red. I had a jacket, a shirt and a t-shirt on. So I was about three stops away from my stop and I started taking my jacket off. Then I took my shirt off and it was so unbelievably hot. And I thought it was because I was fighting off the feeling of being sick, you know, trying to stop myself from being sick. But I could feel my eyes rolling in my head. Like I knew it was happening, but I couldn't do anything to stop it. My eyes were rolling about. I was shaking. I could hear people going, are you all right, mate? And couldn't even respond to it. I remember looking at this couple who was sat like across from me and I went, I remember making that sound at them and they just sort of sat back down and just like thought, well, just ignoring me. They probably thought I was on something, to be honest. I'm sure I looked like it. Anyway, I was able to pay attention to the stops, and I could hear that my stop was next. So it gets to my stop, and I knew I had to get up and move, but I had no way. You know when you do that thing where you're like, right, 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. And you just cannot get yourself to move. It's usually when you're comfy in bed and you don't want to get out of bed. But this was if I didn't get off, I was going to miss my stop, and my car was at this stop. So I would have had to have come back. It's not like I could have just stayed on and carried on and got closer to home or anything like that. I needed to get off. So I just put everything I had into getting up. Pulled on the bar to pull myself up, and I stood up. I went walking towards the door. And just as I reached the door, the tram was stopping. And at that point, I fainted. And all I remember is seeing the door coming towards me. And then nothing after that. I woke up on the on a bench at the stop. I was really lucky. There was a group of inspectors at this stop, because there always is at this stop. I've mentioned it before. This stop is the stop that the inspectors are always at, waiting for people to be getting in their cars, because they probably catch the most people at this stop. So I was dead lucky. Apparently what happened, according to the inspectors, because obviously I spoke to them about it afterwards, I fell forward and hit the doors, but I did it just after one of the inspectors had pressed the button to open the door. So as I slammed into the doors also opened, and they spun me around, and I fell out of the tram onto the platform, which explains why I had a very sore hip, I had a sore knee. Weirdly, I'm not bruised. It hurt, but I think it's probably because of a twist rather than a bang, because the inspector said they caught me as I was hitting the floor. Like, they stopped my head from hitting the floor, which, again, really lucky. That could have been, well, I probably could have died if my head had hit the floor. I'm not a light person. I would have gone with a right thump. I probably would have had to have, if I didn't die, I have to pay for the damage to the platform. That's probably not true, but anyway, I woke up and I'm on the bench on the platform, and I've got one of the inspectors is sat next to me. I could sort of see everything fading back in. I remember this quite vividly, actually. I could hear first, and then I saw, like, I started to see shapes, and it was all blurry, and before I knew it, I could tell. I'd sort of realised, oh, I'm on the tram platform, what's going on? But the weirdest thing, that I haven't fainted since I was in high school. I remember fainting in the hall in high school years ago because it was so hot. And I don't really remember how it felt. But the weirdest thing was, I had pins and needles over my whole body for about what felt like 10 minutes after it. It was probably about 2 or 3 minutes, but it felt like a good 10 minutes afterwards. And I could only assume it was the blood rushing back to my skin, essentially back to my extremities, because it had probably run to my brain and my heart to protect that, because that's what your blood does. Yeah. So the inspector's asking me quite a few questions, you know, just like, have I fainted before? You know, how am I feeling now? It got me, I don't know where the water came from, but I had a bottle of water that I opened and started drinking, and that helped. So I'm assuming they'd probably carry them with them, really. And then the paramedics turned up, which was fun. I don't think cared very much, the paramedics. I think were probably just thinking, like, why have you called us for this? Is fine. They didn't even ask me any questions. They asked the inspectors what happened. They said to me, are you feeling all right? And I went, yeah, I think I'm getting all right now. I'm starting to feel more awake. All right, we'll see you later then. And then they left. They didn't take any readings or anything whatsoever. So, yeah, I'm assuming that they just looked at me and probably thought, yeah, he fainted because it was hot or something like that. And then the inspectors were asking all kinds of questions, you know, like, you know, how are you getting on, you know. And then I realised the reason they were hanging around me was because they wanted to check my ticket. Still, so it sort of all dawned on me. So I pulled my pass out of my bag and I went, you probably want to check that while you're here. And one of them went, oh, thank you, and scanned it. And I noticed then that half of them just disappeared after that. There was the one who was sat next to me stayed with me, but half of them just disappeared at that point. So they probably thought I was faking it to avoid getting a ticket. But I'd already bought one, so meh. But what was nice, the inspector that was sat next to me was asking if I'm far from home, do I need anybody to be called to come and get me. And I said, no, it's all right. My car's on the car park over there. He's like, I don't think you should drive in the state that you're in. I was like, well, I'm feeling all right now. He's like, yeah, but I'd feel better knowing that you got home okay. So we went and had a chat with one of the other inspectors, and he drove me home in my car, which was quite nice of him. And the inspector picked him up in the little Metrolink van that they've got. So yeah, that was an interesting day. But since then, I felt awful. Like, excuse me, as you can probably tell actually from over coughing, I've not stopped being sick since. Today's the first day where I've managed to keep some food down, and it's been, I don't know, 3 or 4 days since. It's been longer. I'm not even with it. I've managed to keep some toast down up to now. My stomach's still hurting. My leg is still hurting. My hip is still hurting. But other than that, kind of fine. Yeah, interesting story. I became the medical emergency. And on top of that, I'm definitely getting a cold again now. So in general health, with the whole, like as I've explained before, I've been doing intermittent fasting, been watching what I eat, that kind of stuff. Sorry, I'm just getting a tissue. If you can hear that. That has been going okay, I would say. It's not been going as great as it was when I first started. There's been a few reasons behind that. Mostly the intermittent fasting has been a struggle, not the actual doing of the intermittent fasting. That's fine. I actually feel a lot better when I do get to do it, but there's been so many things that have come up over the last 2 weeks that have been, I don't know, like family events, or, you know, the day's been so disruptive that I've not been able to intermittent fast, because that would mean I won't eat for 24 hours or something stupid like that. Or it would mean that I wouldn't be able to eat till very late in the day the next day, which obviously I can't do. I need nutrition in some form. And so there's been a few days where I haven't been able to do the intermittent fasting. And we've had to have, not great food, I suppose, like takeaway, because we've had to pick someone up on the way home or something like that. So last couple of weeks have not been so great. I'm hoping to get back on it starting from this week, I suppose, really, because everything's back to normal this week. There's not been as many things, like the school holidays were one of the things. Not being well this week has been another one of the things. I suppose technically I have actually done intermittent fasting this week, because I haven't eaten a single thing, or anything I have eaten I've brought back. So I've only been having small bites to eat anyway. So I guess I've technically done it this week, but it doesn't really feel like it. So yeah, that is where we're up to with that. I did find, weirdly as well, I was finding that I started craving certain types of food, mostly at breakfast time, because obviously that's when I can eat. And you know that thing where you go shopping on an empty stomach, so you end up buying the whole shop, and actually you get home, you cook it all, and you eat two bites of it because you didn't eat it all. I've been doing that in the mornings, so I've been like, right, okay, I'm going to have some breakfast. I'll have, like, I don't know, let's say porridge. Porridge seems to be my go-to, not unhealthy breakfast. It's not exactly great, but it doesn't have much in it in terms of nutrients, but it's not a sausage butty, let's say, or a fry-up. But what I've been doing is I've been having porridge, and then I've been going, yeah, but it feels weird not having something warm for breakfast, so then I'll go and get, like, a couple of hash browns or something like that, or... And then before I knew it, I was like, right, okay, I'll get a bacon sandwich or a sausage sandwich from like McDonald's or somewhere like that. But that's all I'll get. And then I'm like, it's all I'll get. But it's still not great. It's in the grand scheme of things, I'm still eating far less fatty, bad for me foods than I ever was. And that's reflected in the fact that I've not actually put weight on during all of this, not doing it correctly, I suppose, is what you'd say. My weight has fluctuated between 205 and 208, maybe 209-ish. I think like 208.7 or something like that in pounds my weight has been fluctuated at. Whereas obviously when I started, I was 222. So I've not put it back on, and I've just sort of fluctuated around the same areas. But at the same time, it doesn't feel great, especially if that's all I'm really eating. So yeah, I started getting these weird cravings for, I suppose it's like you do, you get cravings for the foods that are not good for you because they fulfill a need within you. So I'm going to obviously start trying to get back on the not eating ridiculous foods for breakfast kick each morning. We'll see how that goes. And it to help me stick with that a little bit more, I've set myself a target for the end of this month, the end of November, and that is to get myself down to 200 pounds. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if that's asking too much. It's £5. I did set that target for myself over a week ago, but then I've been ill since. So I will be pushing it, and I'm not going to be too disappointed if I don't do it purely because of the fact that I've not been well. But I'm still going to stick to it, because if I keep pushing it off, it's never going to happen. Then Christmas is going to come. I'm going to put tons of weight on there. So I just need to try and stick with it a little bit. So yeah, my goal is to get down to £200 or less before the end of the month. So that gives me until the 1st of December. So the first episode after the 1st of December, that's when I'll report it. And I'll report it when it was on the date, on the 31st of November. Is there a 31st of November? Oh my word, I can't remember how many days are in November. I'm going to look at a calendar. No, there are 30 days in November. I invented an extra day. So I will record my weight on the 30th of November. I do it every day anyway. And then I'll go back and have a look and we'll see. So what else happened this week? Not much. I've been asleep for 3 days. Not much happened. I have got a few notes from before I started feeling ill, though. So one of the things actually that happened, this actually happened before I recorded the last episode. I just didn't want to fill the last episode up with too much information because, like I said previously, the previous episode was a long one. So I wanted to keep it as short as I could, really. It still didn't end up being that short, but it was shorter than the previous one. I dropped my new phone down the stairs. I was devastated. So I got myself, as I told you previously, I got myself a white iPhone 15 Pro Max in titanium, and I was putting the washing away. And whenever I put the washing away, I always, when I finished, for me, it's quite a big chore. You know, there's 4 people's worth of washing, and I don't just like put it in the bedrooms. I put it all away. I get it. You know, I've washed it, got it out of the dryer, took it upstairs, folded it all, put it all away. And it's tiring. But what I usually do is I usually watch like a TV show while I'm doing it on my phone. It helps the time pass. And it's a great way of using, your time in multiple ways. Is that even the right way to say that? I don't know. I'm really not with it today. I lay down to finish the end of an episode of what I was watching on my phone. I can't remember what I was watching now. I think I was watching Truth Be Told, because I finally caught up on, or started catching up on that show, on the latest season of it. Yeah, I think it was that. It's a TV show on Apple TV Plus, if you're interested. It's called Truth Be Told. It's really good. The third season in particular has been a great season. Wasn't a big fan actually of the second season, but the third one has been quite good. Anyway, not a plug for Truth Be Told. Just, I don't know, I felt the need to tell you about it. And I started finishing watching an episode of that. And I must have fallen asleep, because I was asleep. So that normally is a good indicator that you've fallen asleep, isn't it, if you're actually asleep. So I'm asleep, and I heard the doorbell go downstairs. Now, our doorbell is extremely loud. The reason for that is because I have hearing problems. I can't hear the doorbell. So we have to have a very loud doorbell. And the way we do it, it's actually got a separate audio unit. So it's not attached to the bell. So when it rings, it doesn't ring at the door. It rings in the living room. And oh my God, is it loud? It's one of those things that every time it goes off, we all go, ah! It scares the crap out of us. Or maybe it's just me. It's probably just me. But anyway, it makes me jump. Even if I know it's going to go off, like if say I've watched the postman walking down the drive with a parcel in his hand, and I'm walking towards the door to open it, and the doorbell goes off, I still jump. It's terrifying. It's really loud. I promise you, it's really loud, right? In fact, you know what? Hang on. I'm going to go and press it. hope you heard that, because otherwise I'm going to sound insane on this recording. But that chime unit, the thing that makes that noise, is on the opposite side of the room. And this room that I'm in is the size of two rooms. That isn't a boast. It is two rooms knocked into one. It's a dining room and a living room. And I'm in the dining room and it's in the living room. And it's behind all kinds of things in terms of the blockages. So if you heard that, I'm not too sure how my microphone settings will actually have picked that up. But yeah, if you heard that, that's how loud it is, right? So it makes me jump. I've actually forgotten why I was telling you this now. Oh yeah, my phone. I dropped my phone down the stairs. So anyway, the doorbell rings and it scared the life out of me. I jumped up off the bed and I still had my phone in my hand and I went running to the stairs because I knew it must have been the postman because I could kind of sense what time of day it was. And he always comes at the same time. And I was running to the top of the stairs. And as I got to the top of the stairs, I smashed my phone against the side of a bookshelf that's at the top of the stairs. And as I hit the bookshelf, it really hit it. Like, the whole shelf rattled and I had to stop to, like, just in case it fell. It has no chance of falling, but you know how you're not with it sometimes and you think that's what's going to happen. And my phone flew out of my hand and it hit. It three steps on the way down. So it bounced onto the first one, the second one, and the third one. It hit the floor at the bottom of the stairs, and then it slid along the floor underneath the sofa. I said a few choice words. I ran down the stairs. I opened the front door, grabbed the letter off the or parcel off the postman, said thanks, closed the door, and I just left my phone. I was like, I don't even want to look at it because that's going to be an expensive fix. I've got Apple Care, so it wouldn't have been that bad, but you know, still it's the hassle of going and getting it sorted. Anyway, I sorted the parcel. It turned out to be for my wife. I went and got myself a drink of water, tried to like bring myself round, and then I went and had a look at my phone, and my phone's in a case. So I took the case off my phone and had a look. Not a mark. Like, it looks perfect. It still does. Nothing wrong with it. Not a scratch, not a crack in the front or the back. Absolutely fine. So yeah, don't fall asleep while putting the washing away, and don't let your doorbell scare you into throwing a phone down the stairs. To be honest, they are probably just me things. Oh man, I've now got a nosebleed apparently. Wow, okay. It's going well for me this week. I'll be back in 2 minutes. Okay, I'm back. I have a tissue. Yeah, don't know what happened there, but yeah, got a nosebleed as well now. I've been thinking about doing this for a while, and I set this up a few weeks ago when I set myself a little challenge. I was thinking I might from time to time do challenges for the podcast. I've maybe got a couple of ideas for a few, but this one I wanted to do because I remember someone else on another podcast I listened to doing it several months ago now, and it was interesting and I wanted to try it myself. It's the Apple Watch Challenge. So basically the challenge is to, over the next 2 weeks, try and use your Apple Watch for as many things as you can. So obviously it's going to be impossible to use it for everything. It's just not possible to do that. It's not how it's designed to be used. It's not a flaw in the product itself. It's not meant to be a replacement for your phone. But I'm going to try and look for opportunities where I actually could have used my watch instead of using my phone, just to see if I can. Like, there isn't a I don't want to lower my usage of my phone or anything like that. It's literally a challenge just to see if I could do it. So what I've done, I've set up a watch face for when I'm at work that has complications on it for functions that I use mostly whilst I'm at work. I plan on using it for, where possible, all text messages and phone calls. Phone calls might be a bit difficult because I can't pair my hearing aids up to my Apple Watch. But if I can initiate the call through my watch, like if I'm making the call, I can initiate a call through my watch and then it will go through my phone, thus then playing through my hearing aids. It just doesn't do that if I receive a call. So depending on the circumstances of where I am, I might have to use my phone in order to answer the call. But I'm just going to try and use it for as many things as I can. I mean, I use my watch quite often, but it's more of a, I just want to see what doing that would be like. Like, will it be better in terms of, will I actually learn some new functionality, or will I learn that it's easier than I thought it would be? The whole thing that prompted this actually was, I was, I did respond to a text message using my watch and noticed it had a full keyboard. And I don't remember it having a full keyboard on it. No, I didn't even use the full keyboard. I used a dictation. And I thought to myself, my word, that was a lot easier than it would have been if I'd have put my phone out to type it. Because the situation I was in. And it got me thinking that actually maybe it's something I can do a little bit more often. And so I'm going to. I've set a reminder in the episode in 2 weeks' time, so episode 21, to catch up on how the challenge is going. I've set myself reminders every day on my phone, ironically, to remember to use my watch more often where possible as well. So yeah, let's see how that goes. Feel free to join in if you want. Be interested to know how it goes for anybody else out there. The challenge isn't to only use the watch. The challenge is to use it more often. I will definitely still need to use my phone. For a start, I can't watch TV on my watch. You may remember that last week I talked about the new transcription feature in Audio Hijack. Did you find the transcription that I uploaded? Nope, I bet you didn't, because I couldn't either. It was definitely there. But from what I can see, so for my podcast hosting, I use a host called Captivate. And I think what happens is if you use their website building service for your podcast, it'll put the transcription on that website if you upload it with the file. It doesn't actually put it anywhere else that I can see. Like when the show notes go and things like that, it doesn't show like that. It is still there. It's not visible to anybody at the moment because I don't use that for my website hosting. I'm still going to do it. I've decided that I am still going to use transcription. We'll come back to that in a second. I'm still going to add transcriptions for every episode from last week's. I'm not going to go back and retranscribe the. I might. We'll see. If I've got the time to do it, I might go back and do it, because I can play the episodes and then run the transcript over it, the transcription software over it. But we'll see. That's something that might require time. And it's completely unnecessary at this point. It's not like I'm getting people saying, I can't listen to your podcast, but I can read a transcription. However, it's just something interesting to do. I like playing around with this kind of stuff. And also, if it means that I can reach more listeners, in terms of reaching people that can't hear the podcast, then great. But I do need to, I'll have to set something up. I think what I'm probably going to do, I'm going to set up a separate page on the website for the transcript versions of the episodes. I might even just set up a thing where I can put like a link to each transcript in the show notes, and then you can click on that and view the transcript. We'll see. It's something that's going to come in time, that I'm probably going to spend the next few weeks having to think about how I want to do it and setting it up. But once it's done, I'll let you know, and it'll be there. You might even see it appear sooner than I mention it, just so I can give it time to trial it out and whatnot. But yeah, if you do see any links to the transcripts, feel free to click them. Let me know how it looks. On the actual transcription side of things, though, I used Audio Hijack to do the transcription, and I hate to say it, but it was bad. It was really, really bad. The transcription that I did seemed to think I was speaking Welsh at one point. It filled Welsh out on the screen, or it looked like Welsh to me. I ran it through a translator, and it came out with the words that I was saying, so it must have been Welsh. Now, I don't think it's Audio Hijack's fault in that respect. I think it's more just me not setting it up correctly or anything like that. Now, I did go... I went back and had a look at the settings, and I was using the low quality version of the transcript reader, and there is a much higher quality version of it. So I switched to the higher quality version. And what I did as well, what I realized is having the transcript running whilst I'm recording is a bit pointless, because it's recording everything that I'm saying, even the bits that don't go into the podcast. So the bits where I'm thinking about what I'm going to say next, the bits where I'm reading my notes, all of the bits that I cut out because I've gone a thousand times, or all of the long silences where I've paused for whatever reason. It's transcribing it all, which is great, I suppose. But for someone like me who isn't at a point yet where I could just sit down in front of the microphone, record it, and then not have to edit it all afterwards, it's not very useful, because then you end up with a transcript of a load of just jabbish, garbage gibberish. Yeah, we could call it garbage. Maybe I've invented a new word. So what I did instead, I edited the podcast and then I ran it through the transcription, which was a lot better, actually. The only drawback is, the only thing I didn't like is the way Audio Hijack displays the information afterwards. So it was literally just a chunk of text. I'll post a picture on social media after this episode's released at some point in the week. So keep checking on that. Because I remember taking a picture of my screen of what it looked like. And it's unreadable. It's just a... Imagine you had no margins, you had no spaces. It might be because of the way I did it, because I just played it through. And there was no gaps in it and things like that. Again, probably my fault, because I've seen other people's like copy and paste or screenshots of transcripts that they've done from their podcast using the same software, and it looked better. So I don't know if they've gone in and made some improvements, but that's not something I've got time to do. Like, I have no way in hell got time to do that every single week. So what I did is I had a quick look into it, and I did remember that the company that I use to edit the podcast, the software that I use, is a piece of software called Ferrite, and it's by a company called Woogee Juice. And I remembered that actually, like a month ago, maybe 2 months ago at the most, they brought a piece of software out called Transcriptionist. And I thought I'd run it through that, because you can send it straight from Ferrite to Transcriptionist. And this is actually what made me think about it. I noticed it when I was exporting the file last time. So I exported it and ran it through that. And it did a much better job. And again, I was using the faster but not as accurate version of the software. So I've switched it to the higher quality version, which takes longer. But for a shortish podcast, it's not really a problem. I can just leave it running in the background and go and get on with things. So yeah, it did a much better job in the way it presented it. So that's actually the one that I uploaded. And I have a feeling I might keep using that one, because I just overall preferred the way it did it. But I'm going to experiment with both of them, because the one on Audio Hijack would be more convenient because it just does things as I go along. It uses a more open source standard from what I can... I don't know what transcription it's used. They might use Matt Whisper as well, for all I know, but I don't think they do. I think they use a proprietary thing. I need to find out, actually. I'll have to look into it. That's something I wanted to do this week, but we've been taken out of action. I just really haven't had time to do it. What I did find quite ironic was that... both of the transcription pieces of software got the word Smithills incorrect. They both put as two separate words Smith Hills Farm. I thought that was great. So on to this week's AI question of the week. This one was a really easy one for me to answer, because it's an answer I've had for a long time. The question is, imagine if you have an unlimited budget and all the resources you need to create any app you desire. What kind of app would you develop? What problem would it solve? And how would it change the way we live or interact with technology? Well, I have had an idea for an app for a very long time. There probably are similar things out there, but there's nothing that matches exactly what I want, or certainly not in the UK anyway. I don't know if there's other apps available elsewhere. And it's a coffee app, right? And it is literally just for ordering coffee, right? The idea is, if I remember rightly, I wanted to call it, Do You Want a Coffee? Right? I came up with the idea a few years ago when we used to buy rounds of coffee for one another at work. It's not something we do often anymore because it's just expensive, and it's not the same in terms of how we work. We don't sit around drinking as much coffee, I suppose, is probably the truth. But what you'd do is you'd send a text out saying, got a coffee, right? And then some people would reply, some people would not reply. And then you'd be at the coffee shop, and then someone else would reply while you're at the coffee shop. And then you'd get back from the coffee shop and the other person would be like, I didn't even see my phone. I didn't know you'd sent that out, right? So what this app does is it has the menu from every major coffee shop on it, right? And I suppose you could even go local coffee shops as well. It has the menu on there, right? And you don't have to do anything. All you do is as the user, you open the app and you say, I'm going to, let's say, I don't know, generic coffee shop number one, right? I'm going to generic coffee shop number one. What do you want? And everybody can choose their order off the menu. It sends it to your phone. It sends the payment to you. Actually, no, that's not what it does. It sends the it sends the order to your phone. You show your phone to the cashier. They can scan it. It builds the order on their till system. And then it bills all the individual people using whatever billing method is available at the time. Maybe we have to build our own billing method. Who knows? It bills all those individual people so that one person isn't having to chase everybody else up for the money. And then they make the coffee, you take the coffee back, whatever. Obviously, there's logistics involved there in carrying it all. But let's, you know, that doesn't matter. That's not the question, right? You can be the same for anything. It doesn't have to be coffee, but it works well for coffee. And yeah, it just makes things a lot easier. So it's just an app that lets you order coffee. And then, that's it. And then the other option is, so I could say to myself, I could say, right, I'm on my way to work in a bit. I'm going to be picking up coffee. And I could say every morning I pass generic coffee shop number one. While I'm passing it, does anybody want it? And the night before, everyone could go on and say, you know, if you happen to be passing this place, I want this. If you happen to be passing this place, I want this. And then as you're out and about on your commute in the morning, you can have a quick look at your phone. You could go, oh, a couple of people wanted coffee from there. Well, I'll go there then instead of the other place, and I'll pick them up for them on the way. And then you can press that it's fulfilled, and then you can all meet and you can have your coffees or whatever. The whole idea of it is to make bulk coffee ordering easier. So yeah, that's my answer to the AI question of the week. I do have another one as well. I'm going to quickly throw this one in there. The whole reason I started trying to learn how to make iOS apps, actually, which I'm still doing. I am nowhere near even almost beginning to understand it. But still trying, still getting there. The ultimate app that I want to make is a podcasting application. And you might say, yeah, but there's millions of them around. And the answer is, yeah, there are quite a few. There's some really, really good ones. But none of them offer what I want from a podcast app. So there's a podcast app out there called Castro, right? It's brilliant. It has several ways of storing your podcast, but it has a queue, which is the stuff that you're currently listening to. And what I really like about it is you can drag and drop them around into different orders. Then it has an inbox. And the idea is what happens is your podcast go into your inbox. You decide which ones you want to listen to and move them to the queue. I do it the opposite way around. I have everything go into the queue because I want to listen to everything. And I'm very rarely behind on podcasts. But what I also want to do is there are some of them that I don't want to listen to yet. So I move them to the inbox. And I can go back to them later and move them back to the queue. There are ways you can kind of do this within other podcast applications, but none of them are quite how Castro does it. The problem is with a lot of the other applications is you have to save them, and then they still show up in your Listen Now section anyway, like in the Apple Podcast app. They still appear at the top, even though you've moved them to the saved section, and that's because it assumes you want to listen to them. And the truth is, I might not want to listen to another 3 months. Some of them could be, it's a podcast about a book that I still yet have to read. The other problem with Castro, though, is it doesn't support video. And there are a few podcasts that I listen to that also have video, and I want to be able to watch the video. There are a few times where they're mentioning something on the video and I want to go and see it. It doesn't happen often, but it happens at least once a week, which is why I always keep going back to Apple Podcasts. If Castro just supported video, it'd be perfect. The only other problem I have with Castro is it doesn't like my podcast. I don't know why, right? When you search for it in Castro, it just doesn't show up. Or it does, but it's not actually my podcast. It's an earlier version of it that I uploaded before I changed providers, because the first provider didn't offer some of the functions that I needed or wanted. It's more accurate. And also, when you subscribe to it, because if you go to the website, you can subscribe to it via Castro and it will work. It doesn't give you push notifications whatsoever. It's not giving me any notification that the last 3 episodes are there. I have to go in and I have to manually refresh the list to be able to see them. Only Castro, it does that on. I've been through all kinds of support with them. The other app would be a podcast app that supports some sort of like listen later function, which also supports video. And I'd love to make that one day. I probably never will, but that's my goal. That's my ultimate goal, is to make that application. So there you go. Two answers to your AI question of the week this week, as if this podcast isn't already long enough and it's still got more to go. Now is this week's gripe of the week. The gripe of the week is going to be pretty quick because it's a very easy to explain one. Cars parking on the tram tracks. What is that about? In fact, the day I was sick, if you know what, let's blame it on the car parking on the tram track. The day I started being sick, I'm sat on the tram, we're headed into work, the tram has to stop because it was actually a bus in this instance, not a public bus, it was a private bus. It looked like, I think it was like a band that was on tour or something like that, because you get a lot of that in Manchester. They'd park the tour bus in the middle of the tram tracks. Well, not in the middle. They pulled up at the side of the road, but their bus was also on the tram tracks. So tram couldn't go. It caused a row of, I could see back four trams all waiting to go. The tram drivers are all constantly honking their horns. The guy come running out. He'd basically, what he'd done is he'd parked up on the side of the road, run down the street through a little tunnel, and then gone to a McDonald's, because when he came back, he had two bags of McDonald's with him. But he was miles away from that bus. Like he was a good like 3 or 4 minutes walk away from that bus, and he just abandoned it on the tram tracks. He came back and everybody's screaming and shouting at him, and he just gets in his bus and drove off. He obviously hadn't realised what he'd done. I think he just thought he'd parked at the side of the road. But it happens a lot. Like so often, especially along, when you're going along Deansgate, there's just so many people that pull over to deliver something to a shop, or I'm just going to nip into that shop, and they not realise that they're actually parked on the tram tracks. It's unbelievable. Happens often, and that is the gripe of the week. I do have a pick of the week for you this week as well. This week's pick of the week is not necessarily because I think this is a good thing. I do think it's a good thing. I don't think it's going to be a great thing, and I think it's going to flop. I'd love to be proven wrong, but I just want you all to watch the video, the demonstration video of it. It's the AI pin by Humane. If you haven't seen it, go and have a look at the link in the show notes that I've added, and watch the demonstration video. It is... It's the two founders of the company. They are clearly not presenters. And that's fine. Not everybody's capable of presenting, but I feel like they should have thought to hire somebody else to present it. It starts off by talking about the colours that it's available in. So this pin has been rumoured, talked about for months now, years even, actually, thinking about it. It was a very long time ago that it was first mentioned, and it's never been known what it actually does. People have guessed quite accurately, actually, but nobody's even been able to determine what it actually does. So this demonstration is showing you what it does for the first time, and one of the first things they talked about were the colours that it's available in. I found it quite baffling that it's completely irrelevant information. It's nice to tag on at the end of your video saying, oh, it's also available in these three colours, which, by the way, we could see throughout the entire presentation. So it's fine. Like, we can see what colour it is. You don't need to tell us. It's fine, right? And then they went on to give a little demonstration of it. I really don't think it's going to be a breakaway product. It's trying to replace the phone, which is something I suppose does have to come after the phone, but I don't think it's going to be this. I think if anything, this is something that should be in a phone. Like, that would be better. If everything that this thing did, you put into a phone, I think you'd have a better product. But yeah, it's worth just watching the video. It's clever. It's not bad technology in any way, shape or form. It's good technology. It's a great idea. I just think it would have, if it came before the phone, if it replaced the phone before the smartphone, it might have had a chance. But I just don't think it does at the minute. And I did notice as well, I haven't looked too much into this because, like I said, I've not been particularly well. I watched the video. I have not really done much more research other than that. I did notice that all of the technology that it's using comes from other companies. Like, it basically uses artificial intelligence to be a little assistant for you. And all of the AI stuff is not powered by them. It's powered by other companies that are partnering with them. So it's nothing that no one else can do. Everyone else can incorporate the same technology into their products as well, because it's not like they are the ones providing the AI, the AI services for it. Again, I need to look more into it. I might even do an episode on the actual pin itself at some point, maybe when it starts coming out. I probably won't be able to get a test one because it's like $700, $799 or something like that. And it'll only be available in the US, which is no use to me. Or you, for that matter, unless you're one of the two people that listen in the US. I'd love to know who you are as well, by the way. Well, actually, you don't have to tell me who you are, but say hi. You know, I do every week. I get two people from the US that listen. So welcome and thank you for listening. I do really, really appreciate it. While we're on that, don't forget to, you know, mention the podcast to a friend. Leave a review on the various applications that you're using. That is the, if you used to do one thing to help me out, that would be the thing to do. Leave a review and that will help grow the podcast, because that means then that those applications that you're using to listen it to, share it with more people. And it sort of moves up in the rankings and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, please do that. That would be very helpful. Thank you very much. And on just one final note, I got talking to somebody like a week ago now. I can't even remember, lost track of all time. I was talking to a mathematician. The only reason I remember he was a mathematician is because he was he had this weird condition. And I like looking up, as you know, I've got a bit of a weird condition. I suffer from chronic urticaria, which means I get hives all over my body. You know, we've been through it briefly before. So I do like empathize with people when they've got weak conditions. This mathematician was telling me that he's afraid of negative numbers. Yeah, he said he'll stop at nothing to avoid them.